Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. Is there a difference for women and men when it comes to eating for your heart? Is fat something we should avoid? Today we talk with Lisa Andrews, dietitian from Soundbites Nutrition, to get the facts.
I always tell people the more variety you have in your diet, the better your gut microbiome, and that really drives everything. I mean, that drives inflammation from your gut. It impacts your brain, it impacts your skin, it impacts your heart, everything. So having that variety in your diet is so important.
Stay with us.
Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Rob.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. We have another guest expert today, and we wanted to bring Lisa Andrews in from Soundbites Nutrition because I read a great blog article of hers on heart healthy eating for women.
Oh, perfect.
Because we did get a question from a listener, Heather from Idaho. And she says, should I cut fat out of my diet if I'm at risk for heart disease because of family history?
Oh, great question.
Yeah, I get that a lot, actually. And I mean, there's been so many different trains of thought with fat, different types of fat over the years, over the decades. And there was a time in the 80s and 90s when, you know, we were all cutting fat, like low fat this, low fat that. And actually, it proved to be a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of different information and misinformation out there for sure. So it'll be good to get some scientific-based, up-to-date info from Lisa.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, we will go over women's health nutritional requirements, what's important, what nutrients of concern are important, the differences in men and women's cardiovascular health, and we'll see what, you know, where fat, the role of fat plays.
Yeah, sounds like the full meal deal. So we will get into that right now with
sounds
Lisa.
Good. Okay. We have Lisa Andrews, dietitian from Soundbites Nutrition, with us today. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us. Can you tell the listeners a bit about yourself and what work you do and who you help in your work?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rob and Sandra, for having me. I am a small, very small business owner in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I would say that I really share my nutrition knowledge through cooking demonstrations, freelance writing. I do presentations, and I also teach high school nutrition, which is a little off the beaten path for dietitians, but I have just a small private school that I probably have between 6 to 10 kids a year, and I really like working with that age group.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. And then I also sell food pun merchandise because I have a really silly head. I'm always coming up with some kind of a joke about kale or olives or cheese or something. And so it's just sort of come out in note cards and t-shirts and tote bags and those sorts of things. So I'm trying to, you know, get the word out about food in that way. And also part of my proceeds go back to food insecurity programs.
I love that. I saw your Instagram page with a lot of those on there. They're hilarious. It's kind of fun.
Thanks.
Be able to have fun with that
like
stuff,
beat hunger, for example, like let us beat hunger for like the proceeds back to your local community for food security issues.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of the title of my shop, but there's also a few items with let us beat hunger on it as the, you know, as the graphic itself.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And fun one, like fun ones too, like desperate, like pear, the pear one, all the different fruits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a perfecto, and stalker's actually very popular, especially around Halloween. So that's one of my favorites.
That's hilarious.
It's a little weird, but it's fun.
I love it. That killing time and peas romaine seeded.
Yeah, I'm wearing peas romaine seeded right now. It was my first design. Awesome. I made it up while I was on an airplane. I was like, oh, I got it.
Perfect. Anyway. That's great.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Thanks. I'm glad you guys get my humor.
Yeah. And I know that you do some work with, like, I noticed the heart healthy eating for women. And that kind of piqued my interest because a lot of our listeners are women. And, and you know, it's important. Heart health is important for everybody. But we're getting to this age where we got to make sure we're eating well to keep our health good, especially when it comes to cardiovascular disease. So are there some key nutritional considerations for women when it comes to heart health?
Yes, definitely. So the interesting thing with women and heart disease is that we often have different symptoms than men. We might not have that, you know, crushing elephant sitting on my chest kind of symptom. So, you know, women might have back pain or shoulder pain on the left-hand side, or jaw pain, which is different than men. So we really do want to pay attention to, and what I like to say is to get the most food in our food, especially as we get older and we go through menopause, we experience more, you know, weight gain and insulin resistance and, you know, the risk for high blood pressure. So some of those things are really important, you know, to manage calories and not necessarily be on a diet, but to pay attention to the types of fats that we eat and the types of sugars that we're consuming, and to make sure that we're getting enough of the helpful nutrients like antioxidants and fiber, and also, you know, lean protein and calcium and those sorts of things.
Yeah, I love that. That totally makes sense. And I know what you mean about get the most food in your food, because it's got to be like, you want the quality of what you're eating to be really good, like lots of vitamins and minerals and fiber and some, like you said, the protein, so that you're getting the essential nutrients, but you're not wasting, you know, just having lots of junk food and ultra processed foods. I mean, that they do fit somewhere, but it's good if the quality of your diet is really important.
Right. And, you know, there's so many poor or bad messaging to women about not having any carbohydrates or, you know, eating keto and increasing your red meat consumption to maintain muscle. And that it's important to maintain muscle, and it's important to, you know, maybe limit some of those sugars. But I think women in particular are a little bit more vulnerable to all the messages about fad diets. And I really want to kind of get people off of the fad diet chain and get them more into, like, this is a lifestyle and please enjoy your food. That's really more important than so much restriction all the time.
I think there's a lot of messaging too that isn't, well, it's specific to one group. Like, there's a lot of messaging that might be, if you're a bodybuilder, then it would apply to you, but it doesn't apply across the board. And so it's going to be detrimental to certain groups of people, but possibly beneficial to others. So that can be confusing as well.
Right. And really there's so few bodybuilders. I mean, especially, I mean, not that I'm dismissing female bodybuilders by any means, but the majority of us are just trying to get through the day. And a lot of us are in that sandwich generation of taking care of our kids, but also taking care of our parents. And so we need to take care of ourselves as caregivers in order to provide care for everybody else.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. I love that. I'm sorry. That is so true. I love that message, because we are inundated with diet culture messages and especially aimed to women, I think. And, you know, I liked, you had a statement on another podcast I was listening to, and it said, you said, society has taken the joy out of eating and food. And that's one reason why you started your food pun swag, because it's like bringing joy back in and letting, like, people read the t-shirt and they start laughing, you know, and it's like happy Guac-tober.
You know? Oh, I love happy Guac-tober. Yes. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, one of the reasons I made Stalker was to push back against celery juice, because I was like, okay, it might have some benefit, but if you have to plug your nose to swallow it, why are you drinking it? Right. You know what I mean? It's like totally. Apple cider vinegar. Like, okay, you know, make it into a dressing. That's awesome. But to just drink it straight, just, it just sounds absurd and punitive. So
yeah,
I don't want food to be that way. It shouldn't be.
No, exactly. It should be. It's a source of joy and pleasure, and it's our social and cultural. Like, there's food is so much more than just fuel for our muscles or fuel for our body. You know, like, we really, it's important for us to take into all, like, the holistic approach in terms of food and eating and our nutrition. And I'm so glad there's people out there like you that are making it more fun and giving a more balanced message, in like the almost like the health at every size. Like, it doesn't matter the number on the scale. Right. And like, how many years have women wasted looking at the numbers on the scale and looking at the calories and working out what they should be eating exactly? Like, it's just, it's a waste of energy, a waste of time, and it just causes guilt and, you know, repent, repeat, you know, it's like the whole cycle of punitive cycle, like you said. And what does it gain? It just gains, you know, anyways, I'm on a bit of a rant there.
No, I totally agree. And it's funny because people will point to social media and say, oh, it's social media's fault that we have such a rise in eating disorders. But that's not necessarily true. We didn't have social media in the 50s. And there was plenty of messaging then about losing weight and going on a grapefruit diet or a, you know, the Cleveland Clinic diet or whatever it was. I mean, my mom
diet.
Was... Yeah, the cigarette diet. Lucky strike. You won't be heavy, but you'll have cancer. Yeah. Oh, hey, that's right. Awesome. And that'll, so you'll be thin. Great. Be thin, but dead. I love that. God. That's so sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to change our messaging for sure.
What were you going to say about your mother?
Oh, my mother was a cereal dieter, and not in the sense of eating cereal. She just was on everything under the sun, from like Slim Fast to Cleveland Clinic. Yeah, serial killer. And, you know, it was part of the reason I ended up in nutrition, was just watching her, sadly, you know, struggle with all that.
Wow, yeah.
So, oh, absolutely. Not a good message. Yeah. No, absolutely. Are there any certain nutrients that are particularly helpful that may benefit a woman's heart?
Yeah. So, I mean, I always encourage more, you know, berries, whole fruit, citrus fruit. I'm a seasonal person. Like, I don't want to eat watermelon in January. That's weird to me because I live in Ohio. But, you know, like, more green leafy vegetables, whole grains, trying to incorporate, you know, some more brown rice in, and whole grain pasta and bread and those sorts of things, you know, because research shows that these are high in antioxidants and they help to reduce inflammation, which helps to protect, you know, your cells and your DNA and prevent your arteries from clogging up. You know, other things like walnuts, fatty fish, chia seeds, ground flaxseed for omega-3 fatty acids. Those are also anti-inflammatory. And then, you know, just making sure that we're including healthy fats in our diet. Avocados, again, fatty fish, nuts and seeds, salmon, healthy cooking oils, avocado oil, olive oil, canola oil, flaxseed, those types of things.
So are those specific to women? Or, I mean, that sounds like just a general healthy diet for anybody. But is there anything that's specifically different about how women kind of process that versus men?
I mean, I don't know if there's necessarily data to suggest one is better than the other for, you know, between the two sexes. I would just say from a calorie perspective, and I hate to, you know, again, harp on any weight concerns,
but yeah, for sure.
Just to make sure that we're, you know, using them in moderation, but I think they're beneficial really to both sexes. And then just limiting the fats that aren't helpful. So things like, you know, trans fat and saturated fat, which is this, when I teach my high school students, I always tell them, just remember the S's. So solid at room temperature is saturated fat. So they get that message of, oh, okay, I cook bacon, and I leave it on the counter or the stove, and I walk away, and I come back, and that the little white blob is saturated fat. Just to, you know, to limit those types of things, and then also get enough fiber in your diet, and also just cutting back on added sugars. So it's not like you can never eat any sugar, but just sort of reducing the amount of added sugars in our diet.
Right, right.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think a lot of the research, I imagine that's part of what the messaging in terms of for women, because most of the research is done in men historically.
Right.
So we have tons of information about men's heart health and to prevent cardiovascular disease. But it does, like you said, there's symptoms of a heart attack or they're different in women. So there are some differences. And just in terms of the volume of food people eat, generally speaking, you know, women tend to eat less calories, less portions than a man. And so that would affect their intake in terms of it's got to be the quality, you know, nutrient dense foods that, you know, you aim to have a healthy intake or to make sure you're getting all those vitamins and minerals and fiber that you need.
Yeah. And I think another, you know, I hate to say food group because that sounds so dated, but just another nutrient source that women don't think about is calcium. And to make sure that we're getting, even if it's not from dairy products, that we're getting enough calcium to help not only with bone health, but it also helps to manage blood pressure. So, you know, including foods that contain calcium and as well as vitamin D, which really is only milk. So maybe getting that level of vitamin D checked periodically, if you're not a big milk drinker, I think is important for women's health because it is a risk factor for heart disease.
That makes sense. Yeah, for sure. And blood pressure too. We did a whole episode on the silent killer and the fact that, you know, the rates of hypertension and high blood pressure in men and women are just, it's rampant, like 1 in 4. And many people don't even know they have high blood pressure. So, and we can, what we eat and our diet can really influence our risk for having high blood pressure. So I love that. Like the DASH diet, you know, I hate saying diets, but this one is one of those evidence-based diets like the Mediterranean diet, but it's got a lot of the calcium, like three to four servings of calcium in a day, calcium-rich foods. So, and if that includes dairy or plant-based alternative or whatever, it's people just have to, especially women, make sure that they're getting those calcium-rich sources throughout the day so that, like you said, you need the calcium to help balance out the blood pressure with the other minerals and everything else in our diet.
Yeah. And so many people are resistant to taking medication. I find that, and you know, it's obviously it's a personal choice, but people feel like they're a failure where they need a cholesterol-lowering medicine or a blood pressure-lowering medicine or something for prediabetes or whatever it is. And I'll say, you know, you can do the diet, but if your genetic profile is such that you're much higher risk, then don't beat yourself up needing, if you do need medication. And if you feel like you're taking too much medication, then, you know, obviously we'll tweak your diet as best we can, but, you know, we can only do so much.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, sometimes you just, the statin medication will help with the inflammatory process in the arteries and just help with the cholesterol. And there's a need for medication in some cases. So like you said, don't beat yourself up if you're doing everything you can with your diet and lifestyle and you still need medication, then it's okay. Like, don't feel guilty for taking medication. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think you kind of mentioned this already, but I just wanted to delve into this a little bit more. What about dietary fats? How does the role of fat play? How does that play in the cardiovascular disease risk for women?
Right. I mean, we still want to focus more on monounsaturated fats. And as you know, all foods contain a variety of different fats. And the only one that's mostly saturated is coconut oil. And then we think of, you know, butter and lard and tallow and those sorts of things as being more saturated. So I usually encourage people to focus more on plant-based fats. So things like avocados and olive oil and canola oil. And then those healthy fats from fatty fish are also beneficial because they have anti-inflammatory properties that help to reduce your risk for heart disease. And then just limiting those trans fat that are found in all the processed foods. You know, you can allow a half a gram of fat per serving, but I think companies are very sneaky about putting hydrogenated fat into their food. At very minimal levels, but then you say, well, okay, if it's one serving, but then I've eaten the whole box of something, then I've gotten way more set, you know, trans fat than I really should be getting in my diet. And, you know, I always just tell people more food in your food, you know, put your best food forward.
There we go. Yeah. Foot food. That's right. That's awesome. Yeah, that's true. Like, what are some of the, when you said like, say if they have the whole box, like, so what's an example of food that might have the hydrogenated fats?
You know, like things like Cheez-Its, Little Debbie cakes, which I know aren't necessarily frequently eaten, but you know, we give them to our kids. And so they're in our pantry sometimes, and then we end up eating mm-hmm. them too. And we mm-hmm. don't think of those things. Sometimes, you know, granola bars can also have those types of fats in them as well. And again, I'm not saying don't ever eat that, because we're all human and we all grab things and take them with us when we're in a hurry, but just to not rely on that stuff so frequently, and just to, you know, take a little time and just have like an apple and peanut butter, or some string cheese and whole grain crackers, or hard boiled egg and some crackers or something like that, just so we're getting a little bit more whole food and not so much of the, you know, the synthetic fats that are not great for our health.
I think I can add to that a bit, because that's how I used to eat. I used to eat like cheese and crackers is my go-to snack. And I would eat like the whole box, or like a whole huge, like half a brick of cheese. I'd just keep going, like mindless eating. Right. And then once Sandra and I started talking more about nutrition and whatnot, and looking at serving sizes and fat content and all the reading the label, I started paying attention. It's like, okay, I've just eaten like 8 servings of crackers and I'm doing the math. I'm like, yeah, this probably isn't good. Maybe, you know, and she's like, well, eat other things. Don't just eat the whole box of crackers, you know, like have some different variety and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of a perfect example of what you're saying is, you know, like I'm getting way too much of one thing. And in this case, the fat, I guess, with the crackers. And sure. So, yeah, it really made sense to me once I sort of started doing the math and thinking about it. So I'm sure I'm not alone in that regard.
And I like that you got into like adding cucumber and green pepper and tomato and some like little bits of vegetable, olives, you know, into that whole little snack that you're having with the crackers and cheese. So it's not, and hummus too, like just so you're kind of getting all those different, like the variety of different whole foods instead of just the crackers.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
And that's also better for gut health when you think about it. So I always tell people the more variety you have in your diet, the better your gut microbiome. And that really drives everything. I mean, that drives inflammation from your gut. It impacts your brain. It impacts your skin. It impacts your heart, everything. So having that variety in your diet is so important.
Yeah, I love that. It's kind of, I've heard the analogy of like, you think of a rainforest and all the diversity of all the plants and the green, you know, the bushes and the trees, and the more diverse you have in your gut, like, so it's like the bacteria, if you have diversity in your gut bacteria, that protects you. And it's good for the, you know, your immune system. And like you said, it's good for your overall health, your skin health, your brain health, all that. And it's different than having like one, just like a football field of a lawn, like just monoculture, like just the one like species. So it's really good to have lots of variety in the gut and lots of diversity. So that kind of protects it's. And like you said, I mean, it's such a big part of our overall health is the microbiome. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's a big part of the heart health too. It kind of impacts the cardiovascular system and our immune health, and mm-hmm. it's all like, you know, ripple effects, right?
Yeah. And I love that analogy of a football field versus a rainforest. So you just see like, you know, amber waves of grain and just plain, you know, plain field of grass versus all this, you know, beautiful lush stuff growing. And so not all bacteria is bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think like, yeah, the way everybody's using all the hand, like the antiseptic hand sanitizers and all those things, it's just killing off so many of the good bacteria and the good bugs. Yeah. And we need that. So
yeah. Oh, go ahead and let your kid eat some dirt. It's probably good for him.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Totally.
Okay, maybe not that far, but, you know.
It's not the worst thing.
Yeah.
Question for you, Lisa. Since we're talking sort of about women's health here, are there anything I'm just thinking of a woman's lifespan and sort of the different changes that women go through compared to men, you know, with menopause and menstruation and pregnancy. Are there specific requirements nutritionally that women might need at those times of their life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for premenopausal women, probably the biggest thing I worry about is getting enough iron and calcium. Calcium especially, and both iron at a younger age because, you know, they're going through that bone building process, and iron because until you stop menstruating, you're a lot of women are very iron deficient. And that can impact your fatigue levels and energy and everything if you're iron deficient. And then as women get older, unless, you know, they have an iron deficiency, they may not need to change out their multivitamin or especially if they're reducing their intake of red meat, just kind of paying attention to making sure that they're getting adequate things. And then it's interesting again, you know, as we get older, our calcium needs go higher because our bones get more brittle. So we go through this, like, you need a lot when you're young, and then we kind of coast for a while, although we do need more if we go through a pregnancy and we're breastfeeding. So I hate to keep harping on calcium, but I do think it's so important because, you know, women often go on restrictive diets where they cut out dairy, or they think that they have, or maybe they do have lactose intolerance and they can't have it. But, you know, things like yogurt are so good for sources of calcium, but also for, again, that gut health piece. So those are biggies. Then I also worry about fiber intake. Again, as people go on more fad diets and they take out carbohydrates in particular, they're limiting beans, they're limiting grains, they're limiting fruit, you know, and then that impacts their gut microbiome too. So just teaching our daughters not to do fad diets because that impacts them long term.
Yeah. When you guys go to as women, when you visit a doctor and get your blood work done, are these things that they test for, like your calcium, like, is that something they can test for, calcium levels? Iron, I know, but is that a standard test on a blood test?
I mean,
like, are these things that people would know?
You know what? I think it honestly depends on the physician. I think that younger physicians, or even those that have been in practice for 10 or 15 or even 20 years, are a little bit more clued in to nutrition than some older physicians, just because nutrition to me is still a fairly new science.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to advocate for yourself. So just as, here's a quirky example. I had some neurologic symptoms and I'm on a medication. I have rheumatoid arthritis and I'm on a medication that puts me at risk for MS. And so I was very worried about it. My doctor said, I'm going to check your B12 level because you could be deficient. And I honestly kind of laughed at her. I said, you know what I do for a living. I'm an equal opportunity eater. I'm not vegan. I'm not vegetarian. I get plenty of protein, animal, you know, whatever. And sure enough, I mean, it was low. And I thought, okay, you know, there it is. And, you know, thank God I didn't have MS, but I was like a week away from a neurology appointment to get like an MRI or something. And here it was a nutrient deficiency. So, you know, I think we need to advocate for ourselves, but I also think that it depends on sometimes the age and interest of the physician about their interest in nutrition and how it impacts health. And, you know, maybe when we interview our doctors, we can even ask that, you know, do you periodically check things like vitamin D or B12 or iron studies or thyroid function or cortisol or anything? We have to ask, I think. I don't know. Sandra, what's your experience?
Yeah. And also with like calcium, Rob, your question about calcium, it's a bone density scan that looks at the, you know, the density of your skeleton. And it's more of a, like, it's good to have a baseline and then know that if you're at risk, like if you maybe had a mother, aunt, grandmother, or another woman in your family ahead of you that had osteoporosis or osteopenia, that you might be more at risk because of, and there's other factors too, like if you're light skin, if you're live in a northern Asian climate, Asian, yeah, if you don't walk, like if you don't have a lot of weight bearing exercise in your daily activity, that could put you at risk too, because gravity, I think we've talked about how, you know, astronauts go up into space and then when they come back, they've had some bone density loss because there's no gravity up in space. So just right. using gravity, it can help maintain bone mass. So all those factors. But yeah, it's not really, I guess if you're at risk, I could see your health professional would say, you know, go get a bone density scan. Sometimes they have those free clinics at different pharmacies so people can go and get it for free. Otherwise, I think maybe depending on where you live, maybe you have to pay for that. But yeah.
Are you guys in Canada?
We are. Yeah, yes. West Coast.
Okay. Yeah. So you have national healthcare or things yeah. are generally covered?
Generally, I mean, vitamin D blood work is not covered. I know that. Not in our area.
Interesting. Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting totally because we know that a third of Canadians have a vitamin D deficiency. Like it's, especially in the winter, right? There's so many people at risk for not enough vitamin D because it's really not, it's hard to get in our food and we're not getting it through the sun because it's a sunshine right. vitamin. So yeah, plays a role too with immune health and also your cardiovascular system. So, and breast right. cancer and, you know, all these things. So MS too, it's linked right. with, a deficiency, long-term deficiency of vitamin D can put you at risk for developing autoimmune diseases mm-hmm. like MS or lupus or and arthritis, like a lot of those. Yeah. So it's really, I like that you said that they found the B12 was low because, you know, you were thinking, well, I eat meat and why would it be low? It doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's sometimes we don't know what's going on and maybe it's not metabolized or something like maybe the intrinsic factor in the gut, you know, all the other parts of the puzzle.
Yeah. It does make me wonder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's funny. DEXA scans here, I believe they only do them when you are at the age of 50, they typically get a baseline here. And then they do them again, maybe every 5 or 10 years. I'm not sure. I had one done fairly early because I've been on steroids off and on because of rheumatoid arthritis. So I had one done. And every time I get one done, I cringe because I'm like, I know I'm getting shorter. And I know they're going to show more bone loss in my hip. And so I'm just very sensitive to calcium and vitamin D because I know that my bones are probably weaker than they should be at my age. So,
right.
Just
right.
is what it yeah. is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Rob, that's the DEXA scan is the bone density scan just so that
okay.
for the lay person. That's how with this podcast, a lot of times, Rob.
I'm the lay person. that's my role here.
That's okay. Like, that's okay. It makes your dietitian wife feel cool.
Exactly. Right.
It's all right. Like my husband knows all kinds of stuff about manufacturing stuff and I know the food stuff. So we just, you know.
There you go.
It's a good combination, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. No, that's good. We ask one question to all of our guests. And this is just, I think I gave you the question ahead of time, but if you're going to go to a potluck, like a dinner party and bringing a dish to share, what would you make and bring?
Well, it's funny that you asked that because Rob's snack or what he started adding to his snack is kind of what I bring. I make this really delicious layered hummus. So think of like, you know, Mexican layered dip where it's like refried beans and whatnot on the bottom. I do it as a like a with a Mediterranean flair. So I'll layer hummus, whether it's homemade or store-bought, with chopped tomatoes, chopped cucumbers, and a little bit of red onion, Kalamata olives, little crumbles of feta cheese, and then I drizzle it with olive oil and oregano.
Oh my God.
And then I just amazing. Serve it with like, you know, veggies or crackers. And then if there's leftovers, which is really rare because it's pretty tasty, then I'll have like a little whole wheat tortilla and I could put that in there with some lettuce or spinach leaves and roll it up and make it into a sandwich. So that's my favorite go-to for a party because it's really easy. I mean, the most time you're going to spend is to shop and chop, you know?
Shop and chop.
I think I know what we're having for lunch today, Lisa.
I know.
There you go.
Delicious. Oh, my God.
You guys have all the ingredients right there.
Exactly.
Totally do.
That's so good.
Yeah. So, and you can make it vegan if you want and just leave off the feta cheese. But to me, life is better with cheese. So I like to put a little bit in there.
It's like a bumper sticker, right? It's like one of your puns.
Life is better with cheese. Everything is better with feta.
Oh, there you go. Right on.
That's right. Oh my God. Well, that's got to be another t-shirt. Life is better with cheese. I think Rob would buy one of those for sure.
I have too many. I'll have to make that and send you a mock-up.
Right on.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Lisa. That was really fun and, and very educational too.
Thank you. It's been fun talking with you guys.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll talk again and we'd love to have you back on the show sometime.
Sure. Be happy to come back. Thank you.
Right on. Thanks very much, Lisa.
I enjoyed that conversation.
Yeah, that was fun. I love all her punny little slogans too.
Yes. I love that.
Definitely check those out. We'll put the link for her Instagram, I guess it would be, in the show notes. But yeah, give that a look. They're really funny.
And her website, just Soundbites Nutrition.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks so much, Lisa, for coming on the show and sharing your information and the wealth of knowledge with the listeners.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, be sure to visit Lisa on her Instagram page and website. Like I said, we'll list those in the show notes. And don't forget to visit our website. We are at mywifethedietitian.com. You can email us your questions and comments as well if you have any. And don't be shy. We love getting feedback from our listeners. So feel free to drop us a line if you want to get in touch. It's mywifetherd@gmail.com. And we are also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And we've got new stuff coming up there all the time. So it's another place to connect with us if you'd want to check those out. And don't forget to rate and view the show. Give us a like, comment, thumbs up, however it works, a little star or five is nice. That always helps, and we really appreciate you being able to do that for us.
Yes, please do. It's great that you guys are listening and you share your time with us in your week.
Exactly. We will be back on Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets. So until then, have a great week, everyone, and thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.